White Rockin' Entertainment, podcast number 723.
This is Butch Thompson, head baseball coach of the Auburn Tigers. You're listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast, War Eagle.
There's baseball news, there's a little football news, and there's some great, big, tall Auburn basketball news. The AU Wishbone is next.
Chris Davis takes it in the back of the end zone.
Let's watch some football. Now everybody, come on everybody.
They're not going to keep them off the field tonight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yo, yo, yo. Let's watch some football.
From the palatial White Rocket Studios in Southern Illinois and Eastern Virginia, it's the AU Wishbone Podcast. John, how are you tonight?
Very well, Van. How are you?
Well, it's Memorial Day. We have all kinds of Auburn news to get into tonight. By the way, I am your host, Van Allen Plexico. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer, and I'm back in Virginia and no longer in Illinois with Van.
Well, you were in Illinois, but you weren't anywhere near me. That's the thing.
That's so nice.
If Illinois were Alabama, where I think most of our listeners are, interestingly, if Illinois was Alabama, I am in north of Mobile County to some degree, and you were in Huntsville. So, you know, it's a little different. But yeah, here we are, and we've got some big stuff going on. And, of course, we're going to get to that immediately, but we have to check in. Oh, you know what I forgot to do? It's funny, when we were about to go on the air tonight, I had some kind of an internet meltdown, which this show is no stranger to, unfortunately, over the years. And couldn't access anything except each other on StreamYard here, oddly enough. That was working, but nothing else was working. And so it disrupted my whole opening process. So now I've got the soundboard up. You can relax and rejoice.
I was going to say, wait, the soundboard wasn't working?
The soundboard was not up, but it is now. And so our first stop on the hit parade tonight is to check in on the Auburn Fun Meter. It just feels like I haven't figured out what that's the beginning of that sound. I feel like I can see a great western vista with cowboys looking out over the horizon. And then it quickly turns into like a Hollywood thing, and then it just kind of ends. I guess I should have made it run longer, but I guess that's plenty. So, all right, the Auburn Fun Meter, rating on a scale of 0 to 10. Where you currently are in terms of how much fun you're having as an Auburn fan at this given moment. So where are you on the Auburn Fun Meter this week, John?
I would say I inched up a little bit more. Maybe I'm 6.5. The big basketball news we'll talk about and baseball hosting a regional. Those are good things. And I saw my first college football preview magazine in the wild on the shelf. So we will be doing our annual episode where we go buy those and review what we find.
Which one was it? Do you remember?
I think it was Lindy's, which is not one I ever buy. Yeah. So.
I was going to say it was either Lindy's or Athlon. Those are usually the first two to come up. It wasn't Lindy's, the Phil Still Info Extravaganza, was it?
No.
How? I ask you, how are we supposed to get by the month of May and June without knowing how Brigham Young performed during the 70s on artificial turf in games at night when it rained? How are we supposed to get along without knowing that information? And Phil Steele's going to bring it to us.
In you know,
excruciating
font. It's like three size, you know, type 3 font. Or,
yes. Well, That man has single-handedly destroyed the eyesight of more college football fans than the Oregon uniforms.
Definitely going to need a little magnifying glass to read that thing this year.
Get the reading glasses out, no doubt. There's no doubt. All right. My Auburn Fun Meter is, I say, about a 7.5. It was probably like 7, and then we got the news for the basketball news, and I said, oh, there's a half a – that should be more than a half a point, by the way. But – I'll give it a half a point just because it's just kind of a relief more than anything. So, all right. Well, first up is the baseball team. A couple of quick things about them. What do we know going on now about the baseball team?
Well, they learned yesterday they are hosting a regional in the process leading to the College World Series. Auburn is one of many SEC teams hosting a regional. And the regional play begins Friday in Auburn. And the other four teams in the region with us are Penn, who we play in the first round.
Like UPenn, the University of Pennsylvania.
Yes, the Quakers.
Oh, yeah.
Samford. And then the other really good team in the regional is Southern Miss. So they will play Samford Friday afternoon, and then we will play Penn Friday night. And then the losers play Saturday, and the winners play. So then we'll see what happens.
Yeah. You know, they make some good oats, the Quakers. I don't know about home runs or strikeouts, but they make they're oat savvy. They got high.
I thought the Quakers were against violence.
Generally speaking, I think they are pretty nonviolent. We'll see. Yeah, is it that there's just a whole lot of regionals, or is it that the SEC has a an inordinate number of them out of the whole?
No, number of regionals is the same, but I think the strength of the SEC relative to the other conferences is as high as it's ever been.
Yeah.
And therefore, the SEC got like 7 out of the 16 regionals, basically.
Okay.
So for other conferences, it seems unfair, but they really used the RPI, power ranking measure. Cohen was the chair of the selection committee, our AD. So there are some accusations of bias there. I think we've talked for a while. The baseball team is really hot and finished the year as strong as anybody in the country. So,
yeah, just adding something to around the SEC about that. Okay. So, and second year in a row.
Yeah. The first time ever that Auburn has hosted a regional 2 years in a row. So I think it shows like the baseball team is definitely moving in the right direction and in historic ways. So that's really exciting. And it'll be great for the fans. To have a home regional. There's a chance we could have a super regional, which is the stage after this one, but that's far from a sure thing. First of all, we got to win, and then second of all, some other teams would have to lose. They're higher up ranked than us.
That's amazing, though, that we've never had two in a row. I mean, but you know what? It's that Auburn thing, kind of like how long has it been since we had back-to-back double-digit win seasons, and it's the same kind of thing. The football team goes zip, 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 zip. The baseball team goes zip, zip, zip. It looks like a EKG, of a very calm person. The football team looks like a hamster. But the baseball team is more like the EKG of a very, very Zen Buddhist person. So, well, that's cool. I'm glad that they've achieved that, and I hope that they do well. I was sad that they lost to Vanderbilt, right, in the elimination.
In the SEC tournament. But Vanderbilt went on and won that tournament, so not a lot of shame losing.
Well, that's what I was about to ask you was, Vanderbilt was the lowest, because you and I, let's just catch up. Last week, you and I talked about this, and we talked about is there single elimination, is there double elimination, and it turned out there was both.
It's both, yeah.
Yeah, the opening round was single, then it went to double, and then it came back to single.
And then it goes back to single.
Yeah. Yes, and so Auburn... Auburn was the highest ranked team that had to play in the single elimination open part at number 5. And then when we won, we got the lowest ranked team that didn't have to play in the opening round, which was number 4 Vanderbilt, and we lost. So did we play another game after that first Vanderbilt game?
No, I believe so.
So it was, I thought it was double elimination at that point. Was it still single at that point? This is all, it's all so confusing. The baseball tournament, it's just confusing. Why do they make it so dang confusing, man? So, but
you are correct. We lost to Vanderbilt, and then on Wednesday, and then on Thursday we lost to Alabama.
Oh, that's right. I remember we had to play Alabama in the loser bracket. Well, that's you know what? If you're looking for Alabama, the loser bracket is a good place to look for Alabama because they are a bunch of losers. And let's face it, they are losers. Doesn't matter how many things they win, that can't change the fact that they are losers. All right, football. Again, we're rolling right along because we've got a lot of stuff in different sports. The first thing I want to do is talk about you know who.
Well, I'm...
No, not you. You.
Potatoes.
Yeah. He got interviewed. I don't blame him so much, right? He's going to spin. He's going to spin his story to make it sound like he's persecuted and look how good he's doing anyway. And that's fine. You know what, John? I have no problem with that. Potato, he can tell his story. He can frame it however he wants. He can spin it however he wants. Of course he will, right? Who could tell him not to? It's his right. It's in some ways his obligation. So I have zero problem with
potatoes
making it all sound as good for him as he could. And that's fine. The problem I have is somebody platforming him to do that. Somebody tossing him a softball over the plate so he could plaster one back. You know what I mean? They didn't have to do that. They could have asked him hardball questions instead of just tossing a water balloon over the plate at half a mile an hour. I mean, that, you know, ESPN or whoever it was went in there and basically just said, show us where Auburn hurt you. I mean, has Auburn stopped beating your wife? You know what I mean? I mean, what did you make of that?
It's the spin cycle. You know, this was a message, I guess, from him to future potential employers. This was all Auburn's fault and not his fault.
Exactly.
And ESPN, both A, helping him tell the story and kicking Auburn while they did it is kind of a win-win for them. Mm-hmm. So they did it. But I think it was pretty one-sided. Obviously, it was a sympathy piece for him and not an actual kind of accurate description of why he failed or how he got to the place where he is.
Yeah, the entire thing was, and for those that don't know what we're talking about, I just kind of went in assuming everybody knows, but for those that don't know, ESPN, it was Chris Lowe, I believe, who's normally a good, I usually don't have a problem with Chris Lowe, SEC writer, kind of along the lines of Andy Staples kind of guy, kind of covers the whole thing and knows it really well. And Chris Lowe goes in and basically does this puff piece on Potato where he says, you know, how bad was it at Auburn, basically? How bad was it? Why were they so mean to you? And he basically set it up as you were set up to fail. You never had a chance. Any chance you had, they took away. They were just waiting to get you. They didn't like their athletic director anyway. So when he hired you, they were prejudiced against you from day one, as if there was nothing that the man could have done to win us over. We supported him at the beginning. It wasn't until we started seeing what he was actually doing and the results way before anything came down on him, right? You know, you can't rewrite 2021. And that's what he tried to do is say, oh, well, you know, they were against me from square one. I never had a chance. And it was just terrible. Let me just say, that's BS. The whole thing was just garbage. And it just shame on ESPN, shame on Chris Lowe, and shame on ESPN for giving him a platform to put out disinformation and for basically, I don't know, you know, they paved the road for him to do it. It wasn't just like they asked him tough questions and he evaded. They didn't ask him any tough questions. I mean,
how many times did you leave your office to go talk to recruits?
Yeah, they never said anything like that. It was all like, well, how are you doing now? How do you feel? How is your family? Oh, they're bearing up. You know, those awful Auburn people nearly killed us, but we're bearing up now. We're back here in glorious Idaho where the skies are blue, you know. And
that gigantic check cleared and we'll be okay.
Oh, that was the best part is, well, you know, I used to tell Chris Peterson that it would be nice to just take a whole year off and just clear your mind and get away for like a year. And everybody in the world is reading that and going, who do you think you are? Just take a year off. It just would be nice, you know, just to take a year off. Well, you know, I'm glad Auburn could make that happen for you. You won the Auburn take a year off lottery, Potato. Enjoy your freaking year off. Go spend our money and go do all the things you want to do. That's great. And you know what Chris Peterson said to him when he said that, which was so funny? He said, that's called getting fired. Ding, ding, ding. It's the only honest thing in the entire article. Was Chris Peterson said, Coach, that's called getting fired. You know what, Potato? You got fired. So enjoy your year off. Enjoy your millions of Auburn dollars that you did not earn for doing. The only thing you did to earn that money is to go away. So thank you for going away. There's an old saying about prostitution that fits into that, but I'm not going to go there. But we'll leave it at that. John is scandalized. I'll leave it at that. You can email me if you want to know the whole rest. But anyway, so just take your money and go away, basically. So, yeah.
Vaya con Dios.
Amen. Here is a statistic that I just had to share from our good buddy Zach Blackerby on his show. And God bless him, by the way, for doing a show every day, because I'm like, man, there's weeks I wonder how we're going to do a show. And he does one every day. I'm like, okay, man, good for you. But he had a great line. All right, I saw him this morning, and he had this great bit. He said, you know, there's Auburn people. And it's funny. You hear a lot of Auburn podcasters reacting to what's on these message boards. I'm not saying I'm better than you folks, and I'm not saying I'm worse than you. I'm just different, okay, than a lot of you. I've never spent 1 second on an Auburn message board. Other than, like, you know, the AU sports thing of old people that I'm on, been on for 25, 30 years. But I've never been on one, so I'm not reacting to that. But I hear what people say there, and I can imagine what the environment is like. It sounds like a lot of complaining usually and blaming usually. And so I just have no desire to get involved in that. I have no interest in that at all. But apparently people on there have been running down Peyton Thorne, saying that, yes... time out. Does it surprise you?
No.
Thank you. So people on message boards apparently have been running him down based on how he wasn't as good numbers-wise last year as he was 2 years ago, right? 2 years ago, he had a great season, and he had a running game. Last year, his numbers were down a bit. And so they're like, oh, he's getting worse. You picked a crap quarterback. Get this, John. This is one of those, like, you know, hear me now and remember me later, okay? Get this. This is something that Zach Blackerby and his guest, I forget who his guest was, pointed out. They said, if Zach Thorne this fall at Auburn, this is unbelievable. If Zach Thorne this fall at Auburn has the exact same statistics that he had a year ago at Michigan State in his bad year, if he did that this fall at Auburn, it would be the sixth best all-time quarterback year in Auburn history.
Yes.
His bad year would be the sixth best. And if he has a year like 2 years ago, I think they said it would be the second best in Auburn history.
Yeah.
Behind only Damian Craig. And the number of touchdowns he threw last year would be like the second most in Auburn history, I believe, for a quarterback passing.
Yes. Behind only Cam.
Yeah. So.
I think that's insane. I think, again, last year he didn't have a good offensive line or a good running game. Mm-mm. And he did that. So I think he's going to be fine and we're going to be okay with him at quarterback.
I think so. Yeah, they were saying he's going to have a top 10 unless something really weird goes on or happens. He's going to be in the books along with Damian Craig and Stan White, Pat Sullivan, Cam Newton, probably Jason Campbell.
Chris Todd. Jared Stidham.
Stidham is in there, yeah. 2017 Stidham is in there.
Again, my expectation for Peyton Thorne is first year Jared Stidham.
Oh, yeah. 2017 Jared Stidham. People, I mean, he came out of the box bad. We didn't look good against Clemson. But who did, you know, during those years? You know, 16, 17, 18, Clemson was just a wampus, as they say, you know. Nobody looked good against them.
Yeah, they had a great defense. They weren't winning national titles, and it was all good.
Yeah, but other than that game, Stidham 17. I mean, I was at the Missouri game that year. He just lit them on fire and stomped in their faces. That was, you know, once he kind of got, you know, once they got the offense going and everything. So, all right, so I just thought that was pretty funny. SEC scheduling. So all this time, we've been heading toward a showdown between the 8-team model and the 8-game model and the 9-game model for SEC competition. So what's the latest?
They are meeting in Destin starting tomorrow for the rest of this week to talk about a bunch of SEC stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the biggest, most newsworthy thing on the menu is this football scheduling discussion. And we've talked about this. There are two options on the table. The 8-game schedule, where you have one permanent opponent, but you still rotate around the rest of the league. every 4 years, and the nine-game thing where you have three permanent opponents and you rotate around the league every 4 years. In both scenarios, you get the more frequent rotation we want, but the eight-game schedule, you get four non-conference games. Some teams already have four games locked in. Some teams want four games. They get more home games. They get more winnable games, all that kind of stuff. They're worried nine games would put them in a bad place. So here's where we are. The SEC's, you know, talking about voting. There are some teams that want eight. There are some teams that want nine. In a non-game schedule, you know, we would lose a non-conference game, probably one of the, you know, the winnable non-conference games.
All right, let's reiterate that. So if we go to nine SEC games, you'd only have three out of conference games.
Yes.
And if you keep the good one, like the Cal or the Penn State or whatever, then you'll have one fewer Alabama State, Louisiana Monroe type thing.
Yes.
Okay.
And you're supposed to play a Power Five out of conference opponent every year.
Yes.
And so if they went to nine, would they do away with that? You could play three cupcakes, or would it still be like one good team and two cupcakes? That's the other part of that discussion.
And money figures into that too, because like ESPN, for example, would want as many good games as they could get. So they would want, the TV partners where the money comes from do not want cupcake games. They'd want as few of those as possible.
But this is what it comes down to always, is the money piece, right? Because there's two sides to the money thing going on here. Number one is, if we go to nine games, some SEC teams are going to have to cancel games and pay buyout fees to those teams to not play, right? And that costs real cash.
Yep.
And the question right now is, how much more money would ESPN pay the SEC if we went to a nine-game schedule? Because we're creating basically more TV content for them.
Yeah.
We're creating whatever, nine times 16, nine times eight games. So 72 games of content for ESPN.
All right, question. Why not pick a year when everybody's existing contracts for out-of-conference games are up anyway and say we'd start doing nine that year so that there's nothing to have to cancel? And now you can start planning now that there's going to be a year you have four non-conference teams, and then there's going to be a year you have three.
So this is on the table as well. This is now option C, the kick the can down the road thing. As any, as we are students of political science, we understand when there's a difficult decision to be made, sometimes the decision is don't make a decision and push the decision down to the future decision makers and make them make the hard decision. And so and do exactly what you said, keep the status quo. In a couple of years, we'll go to nine, and we'll just start by don't schedule that fourth conference game after 27 or something, right?
Yeah, it's not just delaying it though; it's picking a specific time so that everybody knows not to add a game you'd have to pay off to not play.
Well, but again, it still comes down to, in the nine games switch, how much more is ESPN going to do us? Would the SEC do this if they didn't make any more money? Okay.
Right.
If ESPN was like, no, we're going to pay you the same amount of money, whether it's eight or it's nine.
Right.
Would the SEC do this? Would they go to nine? Because here's the deal. If we go to an eight-game conference schedule and not the nine, because this is the deal. The divisions are going away no matter what next year. It is 100% happening.
Wait. Yes.
There's no staying in the SEC West and limping along in that direction. It's going to be no divisions eight-game conference schedule or no divisions nine-game conference schedule.
Amen.
If we go to eight-game conference schedule, it will eliminate the Auburn-Georgia rivalry game. We will not play every single season.
Yeah, that's really important to note, that while there's obviously good reasons for sticking to eight, if you do stick to eight, you've only got one permanent opponent now. But let me just say, can I just go on the record as saying, as an Auburn person, while I do enjoy playing the insanely hard schedule that we always play, in the interests of parity, in the interests of fairness, I'm willing to take the hit of playing the type of schedule like a Tennessee or a Kentucky or somebody plays. I'm willing to take to make that sacrifice, John. I will do it. I will bite the bullet and play the schedule other SEC teams play if I have to do that.
It is noble
and selfless. No, you're welcome. You're welcome.
But we're traditionalists.
Yeah.
We love the tradition of the SEC. We hate Georgia.
Yeah.
How would you feel if that rivalry ended?
Can I just point out, before 1992, we barely ever played LSU. We barely ever played Ole Miss. We hardly ever played Texas A&M. We never played Arkansas, hardly. I mean, all this tradition goes back till more recently than we were undergraduates at Auburn.
No, you're preaching to the choir here. I'm excited about playing Tennessee and Florida again because that's the tradition piece.
So yes. Yes.
It's not going to hurt my feelings at all if we play LSU or Ole Miss less. Or Arkansas less. I don't care.
Yeah.
But I guess I would be sad if we didn't play Georgia every single year. But also, like, if this is the price we have to pay for me to get to play everybody in the SEC home and
yes,
every year, I'll pay it.
Bingo. And if you were ever going to pick a time to just make a gracious sacrifice to the SEC and give up something so valuable as playing Georgia every year, has there ever been a time it would be smarter to do that than now?
Nope.
Take that bullet. Take that hit now. And if they go to 9 later, well, Pat Dye said the sun doesn't shine on the same dog's rear end all the time, right? So maybe by the time they get it to 9, the sun will be back to shining on Florida again, or the sun will be shining on Tennessee. And so if you're going to take a few years to not play Georgia every – and by the way, let's remember, if you do the 9 thing – if you do the 8 thing and it does eliminate – wait, which one – yeah – 8 eliminates Georgia as an every year thing. Mm-hmm. If you do that, you're still going to play them every other year, right?
Out
of 4.
Here's an even better one. If they do the 8 game one and do the kick the can down the road thing for 2 years, then we could have Georgia as a rotating opponent home and away in that 2 year period.
And it wouldn't even change
anything.
And
still keep the rivalry, and then they go to 9 and there's no interruption.
And there's
that is possible.
It is possible it could not be interrupted. It is probably more likely statistically that we'd have at least 1 year of no Georgia. And I would be like, oh, man, we don't play Georgia this year. Man, that just really...
Yeah, I want us to not play them. I want Alabama to get them that year. So
I want Alabama to play. Can we just say, can we just point out that Alabama, even since 1992, even since 2012, the other expansion, Alabama has never played Georgia every year. When there were 10 teams and no divisions, Alabama didn't play Georgia every year.
You're talking about playing Georgia. Georgia has never played in College Station.
Yes, never.
Ever. Ever.
Right. Well, I mean... That just shows the reason you need to get rid of the divisions and do some kind of a rotating thing. And, you know, honestly, we're parsing out 8 or 9 games and how often and having to leave out Georgia or whatever. And I want to be clear that I'm not afraid of Georgia. I am kind of afraid of Georgia. I'm not afraid of Georgia. I'm just saying that if you were ever going to have to not play them. Let me say that again. If you were ever going to have to not play them. This might be the time. There's worse fates than not playing Georgia for a couple of years, y'all. That's just honest. That's just facts. There's worse fates, okay? But now, as I was saying, as we're parsing out the 8 or 9 game thing, we need to appreciate that whichever one they choose, either one of them is going to result in playing all the teams in the SEC a lot more often. And that is a win by itself, right?
It is the biggest, best thing to happen in this conference in years.
To a degree, we're just arguing over how much whipped cream we want on top and cherry on top. We're getting the milkshake. Yes. We're getting to play them. There won't be any more Georgia's never gone to College Station.
That's right.
There won't be any more Auburn's played at Missouri one time in 10 years, 11 years. That's done. That's over. And again, this is getting worn out tonight, but... Yes, yes, that's done. That's going to happen. The divisions are going away. And this is why I didn't make it clear. When I was celebrating the divisions going away, it's not just because I think the divisions are stupid. It's that it means we can play everybody. You're not playing freaking Arkansas and Ole Miss and never playing Tennessee or Florida or Missouri or South Carolina or Vanderbilt. You're going to be playing those. I mean, the thought that we would not have to play Georgia or Texas A&M and instead could play Vanderbilt and Kentucky, that is a very nice thought to me. Because it's still, I mean, look, we'll still be playing the same number of SEC teams we always do or more.
And we've long had the competitive balance arguments because the West was so much better.
Yeah.
That this will even the spread of difficulty among the SEC teams.
Yes.
And you're going to see teams who are not used to playing a tougher schedule, you know, take some L's.
Oh, yeah. Look, I mean, we've always talked about how Tennessee and Kentucky schedules, they'll play a couple of teams hard early on. They'll get like Alabama and Florida early on. And then the rest of their schedule is like Vanderbilt, Kentucky, South Carolina, you know, and you're just like, man.
Missouri.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Come on. And so now.
Come on, man.
Well, and then there's more. These are coming fast and furious, faster than I can.
Come on. Come on, man.
And so I'm just looking forward to the Eastern teams having to play some harder schedules. And I'm looking forward, honestly, to us getting a fair break. So, and last word for me on this, I think, remember, when we say giving up these every year things, it doesn't, I have to clarify that. Because look, in the past, when we've had to give up every year rivals from the other division, it would be years before we played them again, right? We gave up playing Florida every year after 2002. 2002 was the last year we played Florida every year. And after 2002, we played Florida in 6 and 7, 11 and 19. Okay? When we quit playing Tennessee every year after 2004, we played Tennessee in like 08 and 13.
We kicked the rear end in what year was that?
One other 13. Year. But yeah, I mean... You know, so in other words, when we quit playing them every year before, it meant years and years and years. Now it'll mean, oh, you don't play. So we don't play, you know, we're going to not play, you know, LSU this year. We'll get them next year or in 2 years. It's not going to be more than 2 years. You're going to play everybody twice, basically. Right. So you're not going to go 6, 7, 8 years without playing these guys. If we don't play LSU every year, and we won't, right? Because we're not going to make LSU under.
That's right.
Let me make this clear. Let me make this clear. Under neither model under consideration would LSU be an every year team for us. Under no model under consideration would Ole Miss be an every year team for us. Under no model for consideration would Mississippi State be an every year game for us or Texas A&M.
I thought Mississippi State might be our third team. But
okay, you're right. If we go to three, if we do the 9 game and there's a 3 permanent opponent, then yeah, Alabama, Georgia, and maybe Mississippi State, maybe Vanderbilt are the two I've heard talked about. But not LSU, not Ole Miss, not Texas A&M, not Arkansas, right? So, but again, within 2 years, you'll get them anyway because it's going to rotate so differently. So if you don't, if you're like, well, man, we don't get LSU this year. You'll get them next year or the year after. Don't worry. You'll get them twice in 4 years. Every 4-year senior player will have played at home and away against every other team in the SEC, and that's huge. And, John, I think that's so important now because we're going to 16 teams, and if they kept the model that they've been using with 16 teams, we would never play some teams. You think it's been a long time since we played Florida or Missouri now? Oh, just wait with 16. We would never play Texas.
Another 10 years.
Oh, I'd be dead of old age before we went to Austin. Now it'll happen within 4 years. I'm super excited. I'm going to get to go to Austin and see Auburn play at Texas. And I'm going to get to go to Norman and see Auburn play at Oklahoma within the next 4 or 5 years, John. How big is that?
Huge.
It's huge. I'm so excited about that. I was excited to go to Cal 3 or 4 years ago when we first started talking about it. It's not even on my radar to go to Cal anymore. I'm saving up to go to Austin, man. Are you kidding? Cal? Cal? Cal?
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
Oh, I want to go to Texas, man. I want to go to Oklahoma. Come on. Come on. Come on.
Come on. Come on, man.
I'm excited about that.
Right, while you're excited, I want to throw this other thing at you, too.
Consideration
this week, what we're voting about the expanding to 16 is, well, how do we decide who wins? Three teams have the same record? And so they're voting on these specific tie-breaking formulas they will use to determine who wins a 16-team conference. And right now, the proposed tiebreakers are number one, head-to-head, number two, common opponents, not just conference, but all common opponents, and three, a power ranking metric. So,
and number four, best looking uniforms. So we got us a way in.
Number four could be coin flip. I'm fine with that.
It'll be the new NCAA football video game. You bring your best guy from your team, and we'll bring ours, and they'll sit down and play one game of NCAA football 2024 or whatever it'll be called, and the winner wins the SEC. I like it. Bring your champion.
That'd be entertaining.
It would. Oh, I'd pay-per-view to see that. Are you kidding? I mean, let's just say, you know, who of our guys would you think would be, just off the top of your head, would be like a good one, would probably be good at it?
I have no idea.
Oh, there's got to be somebody. Come on. Maybe the kicker? Maybe our new kicker? Send him out there.
I was going to say, what if the fourth tiebreaker was like net punting?
Well, they could do like a penalty shootout, have the field goal kickers go out there and do a field goal kickoff.
Come on.
Hey.
Pressure.
Oh, that would be awesome. Come on, yeah. All right. Well, that'll be cool. We'll see how the tiebreaker comes out. Now, we've got to get to the big, big, big news in the hoops, in the basketball, because Bruce has been bringing in like one high school player, right? It's weird how recruiting has changed so much. We're bringing in, I think, one really, really good high school player, who I guess is our new point guard, right?
Aiden Holloway. Who is now, when you say really, really good, let's be super clear, the second highest rated player ever signed by Auburn after Jabari Smith.
Yeah, so higher than Sharif Cooper.
Yeah, higher than Sharif Cooper, higher than two guys we signed last year.
Yeah.
Higher than, you know, Chuma Okoro, any of those guys.
So we've got, he's coming in as the high school player, and we're bringing in some transfers that can shoot threes and can give us some stuff we didn't have last year. It was shaping up, it was looking like the roster for this coming year's basketball team was going to be much improved, really, really good. And then something happened, and that something was Janiah Broom went off to like the sub-NBA tryout camp and did really, really, really well, and then got invited to an even bigger, better NBA tryout camp type thing and did really, really well. And suddenly the hearts of Auburn basketball fans everywhere was gripped with fear. It was this weird thing of, well, we wanted you to do well, but we didn't want you to do that well. What are you doing, doing so well, man? Because you could leave us. You could leave.
And it's different because if he had been a slam dunk pro prospect and he had left at the beginning of the offseason, we could have replaced him.
You could replace him.
To some degree.
You could try. We'd have no chance. This would be a disaster because we just would go into the season with no true other than Dylan. All right, Dylan's fine, but Dylan is a good piece, but he's not your starting five on a SEC.
And let's be clear, Broom is the most valuable player in the team. Yeah. He's the leading scorer and rebounder. He's the defensive rock.
Yes.
It's gigantic that he's made the decision to come back to Auburn.
He has made the decision to come back to Auburn, and we're going to be a very, very good team now. We don't have to. Bruce can go back. Bruce hadn't probably slept in a week. He's been in a cold sweat.
Well, did you see what Bruce tweeted out tonight?
No, I didn't. What did he say?
Oh, he said the words, man.
What did he say?
He said, "Put the word out."
Ah,
we're back up.
I want you to put the word out there that we back up. Understand me? We back up.
Yes.
Bruce Pearl literally tweeted that out tonight.
Oh, the little picture with
that was just him with sunglasses on. Say it.
We're gonna be good this year. All right, so you know what? I'm gonna go ahead. Oh, I didn't do the outro anyway. So here's the outro for the fun meter. I'm gonna go ahead and raise it up another half a point. I don't even remember what I said now, but I'm adding another half a point to it just for that.
11.5 for Van.
Bruce comes out and says,
"I want you to put the word out there that we back up. Understand me? We back up."
And when he says that, my fun meter goes. Yes, it does. Because.
Scott Wilson!
Oh, all right.
I do want to say, I think for a lot of Auburn fans, like you just like the process you described.
Yeah.
We wanted him to do well, but then it scared us. It is more of a relief than like a joy. Like if we got a commitment from a player Broom stature, I would be like jumping around my house, fist pumping, and instead I'm just like, oh.
Yeah. No, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. I really gotta get that on the soundboard, but yeah, we'd have been like, Janiah Broom, our center, is going off to the NBA, and we're just so excited that... That's how excited we are. But now we're not. We're excited. So, all right. So I feel good about our team this going into this fall and winter, right?
I feel very strong. I think we're going to be excellent. I think it's not just that we got... much improved three-point shooting and some size on the perimeter to help defend the other team's guards and wings. So I think that's going to really help. And I think, you know, the team needed to be shaken up a little bit after last year, and they did it. So,
and we're still going to have KD Johnson, which is nice for the emotional boost that he gives us. That's one thing we'll still have back. So there will be a little bit of returning. I mean, who else? So Dylan Carwell's returning, KD, Jalen Williams, and Chris Moore, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, at point guard, we're going to have
Aiden
Holloway and Trey Donaldson.
Trey Donaldson, right? Yep, playing the McCormick role.
And at shooting guard, we'll have our new player, Denver Jones, who's the big transfer, the very first transfer we got, who's an excellent three-point shooter and a bigger guy. KD will back him up. And then at power forward, we'll have Jalen Williams and Chris Moore, and then we'll have Broom and Cardwell at center. Mm-hmm. And then at small forward, we'll have Chad Baker-Mazzara, the guy we got last week, who's a good size wing and a three-point shooter, and our guy that we got from Alabama Huntsville,
yes,
Chaney Johnson, who's a wing, kind of a 6'5", 6'6", wing size player who can shoot and is athletic as well. So I think we've got those guys, and I think we're in a good place. We have good depth. Some good new blood coming in. So, and Broom to anchor it.
I just went to get to our Patreon page and it's on the wrong page. So yeah, that all is just so good, so exciting.
And I'm while Van's looking at the Patreon page, I have to say again that I am excited because we're going away with the SEC Big 12 Challenge. We're going to the SEC ACC Challenge, which means. Oh. We will be visiting teams near me and having teams from this area come to play at Auburn. There will, at some point in the next 4 or 5 years, we're going to get an Auburn-UVA regular season game.
Oh.
And if that's in Neville Arena, they're just going to take the roof off that building.
Oh.
But we're also going to get, potentially like Auburn at Duke or at North Carolina. We could play Virginia Tech, NC State, those teams, and I'm very excited about that. Auburn comes up here to any of those schools, I'm going. So.
Oh man.
Even like Auburn, Georgia Tech, Auburn, Florida State, those are fun games. We have historically played those teams in basketball a good bit, and they're not far away, so those would be fun.
For sure. Yeah. Oh, that's great. I'm excited. Let's see. Any other I think that's all the baseball, basketball, and football news we have. We got a few more things to get to, but first, let's thank the patrons right quick. We do not do ads on this program. You're welcome. This is the only Auburn podcast I can think of where you can turn it on, listen to it start to finish, let it end, and you never hear a commercial other than me thanking you for keeping our show going all this time. And it's turned into such an entertaining thing. Go to www.auwishbone.com. And by an entertaining thing, I don't just necessarily mean this show. I mean the thanking of the patrons. Thanks to you guys. You patrons make this fun with your clever and creative and wacky names that you put on here for me to read. So go to www.auwishbone.com. Join in on the fun. Join the family. And put whatever you like that'll fit. And it's not unfit for public consumption. And I will share it with everybody, such as has been done by Samuel Salvatore, Chris and Clinton Stewart, Boris the Tiger's Burner account, Carl Von Drunker, Logan Chilton, Ann Kangian, Bill Weathers, Bradley Blackman, Daniel Odom, Eric Morgan, Gary Grant, a.k.a. AUFan at KSC, Matt Flowers, Michael Kirshner, Phil M. Thor says...
No!
Yeah, that's right. Richard Stevens, Steve Trawick, Susan Trawick, Trombone Tiger, Willie Carden. He still wants us to know that Auburn is the only team from the state.
Dispel once and for all with this fiction.
Because we are the only ones that make the Final Four. Let's see.
Tonight's forecast. A freeze is coming. I'm afraid the air conditioners left me cold to your pleas of mercy.
That's right, baby. And the reason that, you know, that we're cold to their pleas of mercy is because...
I want you to put the word out there that we back up.
That's right. Let's see. 76 Tiger, Esquire, Sleazy Shyster, and I will defend him because...
Well, I'm not a crook.
That's right. Thanks, President. I got to add some more Nixon lines on here. He's always very entertaining. Alex Brown, Bleeds Orange and Blue, Blynn Budworth, calibrating my fun meter in the back room, back booth.
Jones Barbecue Foot Massage.
All right, calibrate that fun meter. I'm looking forward to hearing it. Chris Hilton, Dan Thompson, Earl Ricks, Bobby, free throws are expensive. Insert, oh, always miss the insert. Let's see, where are we going to go? We haven't, where's one we haven't done in a while? I did the Ocean's 11 one. Let's see. How about this one?
Oh, my! Touchdown, Auburn! Touchdown, Auburn! Touchdown, Auburn! Tillman! Tillman at the baseline of the end zone. A bullet by Berger. Auburn goes ahead. Unbelievable! Tillman from Berger. Touchdown, Auburn!
Oh, that's good. You know what game that's from, don't you?
That never gets old.
You were at that game.
That was at that game.
That was, which one?
That was Georgia Tech, right?
Yes, that was Georgia Tech in 87.
Yeah. In Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. And then on like the two plays later, Andre Bruce intercepted the ball and took it back for a touchdown. And a game that we were losing with like 10 seconds to go, we won by like two touchdowns.
It was the best. We were sitting in the Georgia Tech student section, and they were so stunned and so mad.
Oh, yeah.
It was awesome.
Oh, they had it won for 59 minutes and 40 seconds. Oh, yeah. And we won it by double digits. It's insane. And Andre Bruce was the first pick in the NFL draft after that.
By the Falcons.
Of course. Of course. Oh, that's so good. Jacob and Robin Fleming, Junior Rose Green. I love that he's on here. Catherine England, Kevin Smith, Lane Middleton, Mickey B. No one fights like Gas Time. George Gas and I, we were having an interesting conversation today about In-N-Out Burger, of all things. Let's see. Algorithm Blues, Paul Miles, Reynolds Wolf, Rich Reimer, Rusty Owen, Steve Harlan, Theodore Geary, Warhammer 6, WD Richie. I ordered a chicken and an egg online. I'll let you know what comes first. Yeah. John's reaction. By the way, we did have a big chicken finger debate the last couple of days on Twitter because let me tell the story really quickly. So what happened was this is actually funny. So Auburn put out a graphic saying Auburn is the only SEC school with a Buckeyes, right? I guess that's how you pronounce it. I don't know. I've been in one. Buckeyes. Okay. And so then Lane Kiffin immediately puts one out himself, puts one out that says they're the only one with a chevron that has chicken on the stick. That was cool. I respected Kiffin for coming up with something funny. That's good. And then,
Then every college in America did it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Over the next 2 days.
Yeah. It was crazy. I saw a couple. I saw the one about Alabama, the only one with a guns and ammo store that sells to murderers or whatever, which is funny. But Georgia State, I believe, was the one that got started on this. They said they're the one with the original Zaxby. And I said, yeah, and they haven't had any good food there in years. And oh, man, the
Georgia Southern, maybe.
But. Georgia Southern, yeah, Statesboro. And man, the Georgia Southern people came out of the woodwork jumping on me for daring to insult their beloved Zaxby's. And I'm like, look, I used to be exactly the same way. You know, I defended Zaxby's very vociferously until about a year or two ago. When people started telling me, look, it's not good anymore. And I'm like, I ate there a year or two ago and it was great. They're like, no, go eat there now. So my wife and I went to Zaxby's and it was awful. And then a few months later, my daughter and I ended up going there one night. And again, there's not a Zaxby's within 2 hours of me, but we ended up going to one on the trip and it was awful. The chicken just wasn't good. It's like it's overcooked, dry, didn't have a good flavor. It was nasty. And I couldn't believe it. I was so disappointed. And I told them that, and they're like, oh, no, Zaxby's is the best. And so I did a poll, John. I did a poll on Twitter and got about 500 votes. And I said, which of these chicken finger places is the best? Guthrie's, Raising Cane's, Zaxby's, because those are the three that are basically the same model, and then other. Now, Guthrie's won with almost 50% of the vote, easily won. Raising Cane's finished second with about 25%. Other got about 15%. And I think Zaxby's barely made double digits, like about 10. And that wasn't surprising to me. Have you? Yeah, because Zaxby's. I mean, have you had Zaxby's in recently?
Oh yeah, no, it was not good. It was really salty. The wings weren't. The chicken fingers weren't good. And there again, there's one Raising Cane's in this area. They're building another one, freestanding one. I'm very excited about it. So
yeah, now we've got ours opened like about 2 years ago. And man, the traffic outside, it looks Chick-fil-A-ish in terms of traffic outside it. Mira and I would park in the Lowe's parking lot and walk across to it so that we could get in and out without having to fight our way through that traffic, the double drive-through. But anyway, so that was very interesting to me, and I really hate it. I'm not reveling in Zaxby's being bad. I wish they were good. I think that they just try to do too many things. They got away from their core that built them, which is good chicken fingers.
Well, and they expanded incredibly rapidly.
Yes.
Like when a corporation like that expands too fast, then the quality control of the suppliers and stuff goes down.
So. Absolutely. So it's too bad. I wish they were still good, but they're not. Let's see. I don't remember where I left off, so I'm just going to start with Paul Miles, Reynolds Wolf, Rich Reimer, Rusty Owen, Steve Harlan, Theodore Gary, Warhammer 6, WD Richie. Oh, yeah, we did that. Wes Atkinson. And where do rainbows go when they are bad? Prism. It's a light sentence. Oh, hey, ho.
That redeemed it a little bit.
Why can't we have nice things? Well, we do have nice things as of today because we got Janiah Broome back. William Morgan, Wilson Beard, Wynn Carroll, Winston Boddy, Auburn Blue, Blake Heron, Boris the Tiger, Brandon Smith, Carter Glaus, I got to tell you the what story. I'm not going to do it now. I'll try to remember to do it at the end. Carter Glaus, Colby Butler, Corey Smyer, David D. I know I left that hanging for a week. So David Simpson, Diabama, Hugo Sleazes, don't tell my fans I lost more games as double-digit favorites last year than Auburn has in the last decade. Josh Teal, just wait till next year. Kevin Mahan, Luther and Kelly Ottaway, Melissa Blackstone, Papa Todd, Patrick Williams, and our one-time and anonymous donors. Yeah! All right. Randall Walker, Rob Morgan, Russell Milling, Sarah Hines, Sasquatch, Shane Bailey, Shannon Butson, Spider-Man has a winter jacket made of Mediterranean flatbed. It's called a Peter Parker. Stephen Houston. Tim Pittman, I gotta get like a rim shot sound effect now, all these jokes. Timothy, Tony Perry, Weagle87, at the Mad Reaper Pepper Company on Instagram. Oh, John, I'm planning on doing a hot pepper sauce tasting video, hopefully this week. All right. Cause I got me some crystal hot sauce finally. So now my collection is complete.
Good luck.
We'll see who my guest host is next week. My substitute. Alex Wynn, Ben Amos, Ben Regis, Brian Albanese, Charles Mooney, Chris Cummo, Chris Braun, Clay Henson, Colonel Dad, a.k.a. Ari Benzane, I miss my category, Mr. Construction Tiger, Daniel Barnett, Daniel Witten, and finally, Darren Pyle, Elizabeth Donald,
we got to get better at celebrating.
I like that I still get to keep that one on the soundboard. That's one I probably would have removed by now, but I like that I still have reason to have it on there. I'll buy this for a dollar. James Taylor, Jason the Weasel Skull Albrecht, Jeremiah Schumann, Jim McCrory, Joey Miller, JT Jarhead, Justin Bean, Kenneth Brent Rains, The Barbecue.
You have failed me for the last time.
AKA Auburn Dead for Life. Mark Squire, MVP, Captivating Kathy Bryant.
Your love of the halfling's leaf has clearly slowed your mind.
I got to get a better quality of that one. Sorry about that, Kathy. I'll try to find a nicer audio clip of that. My bracket is busted, but I'm still Tiger exclusive mouse catcher for...
Jones Barbecue Foot Massage.
Yeah. New York Tiger spent the weekend in Cape Cod. Oh, nice, New York Tiger. Very nice. Cool. Good deal. I think that's where my daughter wants us to go on our next vacation, maybe next summer. Nick Craig, Paul Bankson, Rich Hammett, Royce Alvarez, Russell Souther, Ruth and Darren Sutherland, Spanky, I am at the bottom of this list because...
Scott Wilson!
Back for while you can, the monkey boy.
Sports Illustrated's Auburn Elvis, Stephen Thompson, the Slinko family, Tim Sauls, Trevor Johnson, why are you booing Johnny's right? Will the Auburn fun meter be frozen during football season? Ah!
I'm afraid that my condition has left me cold to your pleas of mercy.
And Brant Rumble, plus our one-time and anonymous donors, we thank you all. Go to www.auwishbone.com. We have a Fantasy Formula 1 update. But first, I'm quickly going to tell you why I always say what after Boris. Because Boris's favorite thing, Boris the Tiger, for those that don't know, he is our mascot, kind of our unofficial show mascot. He also has a Twitter account at Boris AU Tiger. And he famously got left in Auburn.
Beat us in the college pick'em.
He won the college pick'em last year. Yep. Yep. And got left in Auburn and had to take a plane, a FedEx plane back to his home here in Southern Illinois, and was tweeting out pictures along the way. Well, what happens is he never has quite understood that Tuberville is no longer our coach. So whenever we're watching a game and somebody mentions like Coach Chizik or then Coach Malzahn or Potato or now the new coach, Boris would always say, "What?" because he would be startled that Tuberville is no longer our coach. He just doesn't like change. He's a very conservative, traditional Tiger, and it strikes him as a mystery when anything changes. So that's why he always says "What?" That's kind of his catchphrase.
He's like me.
There you go. So now you know why Boris always says "What?" All right. Here's a quick update on the top 10 of the Fantasy Formula 1. We had the Monaco Grand Prix this week. And so in our fantasy, and if you want to play Fantasy Formula 1 with us, just jump on aboard. Go to www.auwishbone.com, click on the big orange button, become a patron. When you sign up to become a patron, you just scroll back a couple of things on the Patreon page, and it'll have the links and the password and everything to join up and join the league. Currently leading is Tiger Transit, who there actually has been no change in the top five. Number one is still Tiger Transit, who pulled ahead last race. Number two is Teamy McTeamface. Number three is Cheeky Nando's. Number four is Scuderia Toro Plexico. That's my team, one of my teams. Number five is Sir Bacon the First. So there's been no real shakeup in the top five. Number six is Aubimobile. Seven is Mississippi Racing. Eight is Scuderia Aquila Guerra, which is Scuderia War Eagle. Number nine is Smokescreen 44. And number 10 is Solitaire. Boris the Tiger F1 is down at 13 this week, I'm sorry to say. And Ringers is 16. There wasn't a lot of change from this week. I think pretty much everybody has the same drivers at this point. And if they don't, why not? You know, it's kind of obvious. So, and if you bet everything on Checo this week... did not go well. All right. I think it's time for Guess the Game, John.
Bring it on. Who can it
be now? Hello, Van, John, the rest of the AU Wishbone family. This is Jared Albrecht, the yard sale artist, here with Guess the Game number 94. Guess the Game 94 is brought to you by listener Hunter Bowles. And let's listen to what Hunter sent in.
They're going to rush three guys. Here we go. And they're going to try and keep the defensive ends wide to keep them inside the tackles. Shotgun. Clock runs dry to the end zone. Clock. Time runs dry. a tremendous football game we just witnessed, Craig. Look at this, the last gasp effort. I'm surprised the ball didn't go into the end zone. A super job of keeping the receivers in front of them like we talked about all day. Keep them in front of you. Don't give them a big play. For the most part, Auburn did not. Had a super game all day long, being in the right position. Give him credit. He got his team in position to have a shot at winning this ball game.
Okay, guys, I will see you in the hint file.
All right, let me just say up front, that was a big game because the crowd was really going bananas.
Well, or we won, and maybe it wasn't a big game, but it was a game that was way closer than it should have been, and it was a kind of a, we held on. Like, who were those announcers?
Well, it sounded like a night game ESPN type thing to me. That's what it sounded like to me.
I did not recognize those guys.
No. So that was probably like an ESPN2 7:30 game, something like that. So when we play ESPN2 night games back in the last few years, it's usually been against like an out of conference mediocre team, like a West Virginia or something, or it would be against like Ole Miss. Well, they're usually during the day. It would be like who's the team we'd be playing late at night? Florida, yeah.
South Carolina.
Yeah. So
it was a defensive stand at the end by
yes.
Auburn. Other team was driving and throwing and going to throw in the end zone to try to win.
Didn't even get to the end zone.
Couldn't find anybody open in the end zone.
And see, here's the thing that's tough about this one. That's one of those games where there's probably been a big Auburn play a couple of minutes earlier in the game that we would recognize.
Yes.
But this is one of those closing the game out plays. It's kind of like if we did the Bo over the top game, and instead of playing Bo diving in on the for the fourth down touchdown, you know, we had like Walter Lewis getting sacked on the last play or fumbling or something after that. So there's just so many games that could be, and I don't really know.
And I'm trying to think about they kind of made it sound like the other team's quarterback had played a great game and they just wasn't enough. And I'm trying to think about who that could be.
Could that be South Carolina 2006, maybe? That's the one where we controlled the entire third quarter and then they controlled.
That was over there with the crowd be sounding like that.
No, that's true. You're right. Yeah.
I think we got to go to the head file.
Yeah, I just don't remember a specific game where the other team was throwing into our end zone. All right, I'll tell you this. There is one specific game I remember, but I don't think this is it. The one specific game I remember where the other team was throwing into our end zone at the end of the game was the 1995 Alabama game. Freddie Kitchens was throwing the ball in the end zone. And remember, there's the photograph of the guy having it, but he hadn't gotten possession of it yet. And the Alabama fans were all like, that's a touchdown. We should have won. We're like, well, you could take a snapshot of the ball like there, you know, but he hadn't, you know, by the time he got it, he was out the back of the end zone, that whole thing. So that's the only one I can remember. And that sounded more recent than that.
Agree.
All right, let's go to the hint file then.
Here we are in the hint file. Let's get rid of those bleeps and give it another listen.
They're going to rush three guys. Here we go. And they're going to try and keep the defensive ends wide to keep them inside the tackles.
Russell shotgun. Clock runs dry to the end zone.
Tremendous 7-3 football game we just witnessed, Craig. Look at this, the last gasp effort. I'm surprised the ball didn't go into the end zone.
I know what it is.
A super job of Eric Brock keeping the receivers in front of him like we talked about all day. Keep them in front of you. Don't give them a big play. For the most part, Auburn did not. Eric Brock had a super game all day long, being in the right position. Jamarcus Russell, give him credit. He got his team in position to have a shot at winning this ball game.
All right, guys. I will see you in the answer file.
All right. So Auburn LSU, because that was Jamarcus Russell.
Yep.
And the year then would be what?
Well, it was 7-3.
7-3. Auburn beat LSU.
Yeah. So I think that's 06. So I had the right year, just I had the South Carolina, and it was not South Carolina. It was LSU. It doesn't sound like 06. I guess that's not that far ago. Yeah.
You say that.
17 years ago, but
17 years ago. It's not that far ago.
No, the audio.
We're talking about a game that was 17 years ago.
I'm just saying the audio sounds better from a game from 2006 than it does from 1995. That's just a fact.
It does. It's fair. And so, Jamarcus Russell, number one pick,
yeah,
flamed out of the NFL. So.
Yeah, I think that was 2006 because obviously 2005 was the one we missed all the field goals. And then 2006 was in Auburn, and we won in Auburn. It was an afternoon game that ended later afternoon. And then 2007 was, I think, the insane pass that we've talked about many times at the last second, and they went on to claim the national championship with two losses. A joke. So yeah, I'm pretty solid on 06. You ready?
I'm in.
Okay, John, Van, if you guys figured out that this is our beloved Auburn Tigers playing LSU in 2006, then you figured it out right. Anyway, if you listeners out there would like to be like Hunter Bowles and send in a suggestion for Guess the Game, you can send them to me on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I am at Yard Sale Artist. Or you can email me directly. That's Jarrod, J-A-R-R-O-D, at theyardsaleartist.com. Until next time, Van, John, Borigle.
All right. Yeah, y'all send in some more. That was number 94. We say this every week, but it's just amazing to think how many editions of that Jarrod has cranked out, and we really appreciate it. It's just really remarkable that he's able to do all those. So I mean, that's over. He's done at least 2 years of that. It seems like he's done it 3-4 years at this point now.
Yeah. Thank you, Jerry. And we have some listener emails about Guess the Game from last week, so let's go to that.
Well, let's do it.
Thank you. Order questions to the Prime Minister.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone Podcast.
There they are.
All right. Here we go. First listener emails from Colby Butler, who says, "Hey, Van and John. Just pat myself on the back for correctly guessing the Darren Bates stiff arm play for Guess the Game. I got lucky because that's one of the plays I'll always remember just because it occurred during the formative years of my adolescence. Keep up the great work, Colby Butler."
Please clap.
And very then good. We appreciate it. We got this email from Justin Yeager. Blake Yeager, and the subject line is, "I got Guess the Game," and he says, full disclosure, I was trying to decide whether it was New Mexico State or one of the Louisiana's schools, but I knew exactly which play it was. I remember watching it live and thinking, if we were a top 25 team, that stiff arm may have made the ESPN top 10. It was honestly the lone highlight of the 2012 season, and he included a link to the video. It says, look how he manhandles that guy.
That's so good. So, oh, man. That's so funny, because it is about the only – I've always said about the only other good thing that happened in 2012 was we almost beat LSU. It's like our worst teams always almost beat LSU, even when they're terrible. It's so funny.
Truth. All right. Next email is from we got those because I challenge people because we did not get Guess the Game. We didn't come close last week. And I challenge our listeners to tell us if they did. And those two came through. So that's exciting.
Yeah.
The next email is from Logan Chilton, who says, "Van and John, get your tinfoil hats ready and follow the crimson red string across my web." This question is a response to Auburn Elvis's comments about a conspiracy theory, but also falls under the category of most impactful plays and a what if from last offseason. This play stuck with me as I was at the game and couldn't help feel like there was more to it, so here we go. In the 2017 Iron Bowl, Kerryon Johnson was reaching for the end zone and took a big hit from an Alabama player and hurt his shoulder.
Yes, he did.
It wasn't until later in the game he had to fully withdraw from playing, but it was that play that set everything in motion. My conspiracy theory is this. Alabama knew they couldn't beat us, and they knew that if Auburn won the SEC, the committee isn't going to put them, Alabama, in the playoffs. So they did the only thing they could. They had a bounty on Kerryon Johnson and injured him, and the rest is history. Auburn limped into the SEC title game, got blown out, and the committee put Bama in the playoff, and they won. Auburn limped into a bowl game we didn't want to be in and got whipped by Central Florida. We started the inevitable march toward replacing Gus with the potato. That play to me is among the most impactful in Auburn history and a sorrowful what if, because with Kerryon Johnson at full speed, I think we were the hottest team in the country that year.
Yeah.
Maybe we don't win the championship, but we definitely beat Georgia and make the playoff, and neither Georgia or Alabama make it. With a playoff appearance, a possible championship, Gus keeps us in the national title picture, and despite a few down years, still has enough credit that he doesn't get fired in 2020 on the excuse that COVID was a weird year. Then he comes back with a third-year Bo Nix and a potato, could get 6 wins and nearly beat Bama. I bet Gus could have done much better. With one injury hit to our running back, Alabama forced us to suffer 2 years of potatoes, and they knew what they were doing. Thanks for everything y'all do, and War Eagle Logan.
I need that sound clip that they use on the rewatchables where it's, they knew it! They knew it! They knew it, and they made it happen! They planned it! They made it happen! That's a great clip. Yeah. No, I don't know about, like, if in real life I believe all that, but I certainly, as an Auburn conspiracy theory fan, I can see a universe in which that 100% totally happened. I totally buy it. 100%.
It's a great conspiracy theory, and I think that the LSU game that year, Kerryon took a lot of hits, and that was a cumulative effect, but it is, I like that theory.
Yep.
All right, the last email is from frequent emailer Auburn Elvis. It's the title of his email is Moving Day, and he says, Dear John and Van, we're in the midst of moving to Auburn.
Oh, wow, look at you.
Yeah, very nice. This morning we had a bunch of friends over to help us load the moving truck, but within an hour we realized we had not downsized enough, and we would have to store a portion of our things at a neighbor's, retrieving them on a later visit. The whole experience questioning which possessions I must keep, and which ones I could do my best Brian Harsin impression, lighting them on fire and walking away in slow motion. If you could only keep one Auburn-themed item from your collection, what would it be and why? He says, thank you very much. Mine is the outfit for obvious reasons.
Yeah. Well, of course.
Wow. Good question.
I don't know that I have one. I mean, I've got my beloved Damian Craig number 16 jersey. And I got my little mini helmet back here behind me that sits in front of Boba Fett. Oh, by the way, John, speaking of helmets, you notice what's joined me up on the...
Oh, I have. I noticed.
I've got my
full-size Boba Fett.
Full-size Boba Fett helmet is up there now. Yeah, that's the one I actually put on when I go to conventions if I dress up like Boba Fett, which has happened a couple of times. Not at Dragon Con, because they look like, you know, they walked out of the movie there. I don't know. I mean...
I have upstairs in the attic, I have a Ziploc bag with my first time ever shaker in it.
Yes.
In the Ziploc bag.
I hate you that you still got your first time ever shakers because mine are long gone. I, you know what I might have that I wouldn't want to get rid of is I've got my framed tickets to the national championship game.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah. I've got those. I've got the newspaper from the Arizona the Republic the next day with Dyer. I've got the magazine cover, Sports Illustrated, with Cam and Cody Burns, and I've got all of our tickets and parking passes and everything in a big frame. So I think that'd probably be the thing I want to keep.
Those are good.
You know, when I moved overseas in 2005, I had to get rid of like 90% of my belongings, and I went through exactly that thought process that Elvis is talking about, where I had to decide, you know, what do I absolutely can't live without, and what do I want to get rid of, and it's taken me 20 years now to build back up to a whole house full of junk again. But I
was going to say, I think that process is good for us as human beings, the paring down process.
Oh, yeah. I got rid of so many things. I traded in so many books to a used bookstore for store credit that I don't even have the receipts for anymore. And that bookstore is in Atlanta anyway. I don't even remember which one it was. So I just gave them away, basically.
But other people get to read them. It's all good.
Yeah, that's good. All right. So we're squared away on the listener questions.
We are.
I'm going to just take a quick trip. What are we going to do, Mira?
Let's take a trip around the FTC.
All right. Let's do it. All right. So my understanding then, you say that Vanderbilt won the SEC baseball tournament. I tuned out as soon as we were out.
They did.
All right. Well, good for Vanderbilt. So at least we lost to the champion. So that brings a little credit to us. Where did they Is there anything behind that? I didn't hear anybody talking about it. They just come out of nowhere and explode or something, or?
I think they're a team that's always legitimately a top 10 team now, and so it's. I don't think anybody was stunned that they won.
All right, because they were the fourth seed, I believe. So that just surprised me. Okay. Yeah. The only other thing I thought was funny was that there's been some talk last week or two, of since the Big Ten is adding USC and UCLA and venturing out. There's once this happens every 5 or 6 years, people start talking about, oh, the SEC should add Florida State and Clemson, which is funny because Florida State had every opportunity in the world to join the SEC and they chose not to. They told us no in 1992. So that's why we ended up with South Carolina. But somebody on the ESPN site or SEC, anyway, there was a writer, a lady that was writing this week that said Clemson and FSU for membership in the SEC would be a good idea. And one reason is that Florida State is only 3.5 hours south of Auburn. And so there's the, quote, possibility of, quote, a small rivalry with Auburn developing, especially after what happened in 2013. And I'm like, well, you can tell that this person is young, that they think that maybe someday we could have a rivalry between Auburn and Florida State. Because 2013 is only the most recent chapter in a long and sordid rivalry that has existed and will continue to exist there. Through the 1980s in particular, we played them for a number of years before 1980 and dominated the series. In the 80s, of course, Auburn won 3 and then Florida State won 3. And then in 1990, we had the rubber match that Auburn won. And that was, you and I were at that game together and had one of the most fun times.
One of the best home games in history.
It was so good. That crowd, just the psychic energy from the crowd of us, just willing that team to find a way to beat Bobby Bowden in Florida State was awesome. It was incredible. So, yeah, we have a small rivalry with Florida State, and I would be happy to continue it. But I don't think I want 18. Do we want 18 teams?
No, I mean, they're not leaving the ACC. It is not possible.
Yeah.
It's not ever going to happen. And so this is like, we could add Michigan. But having said that, I want to play Florida State again.
Yeah.
I want a home and home series. I'd love to play them in a bowl game. Bring it on. I want to play Florida State.
Of course, we missed the time we really wanted to play them. This is what always happens, right? We've always said, if you want a program to get top 10 quality, just put Auburn on the future schedule, and by the time it gets to that game, they'll be, whatever they are going to be. A corollary on that, though, was that on the Florida State thing was that, there was somebody wrote today that did you see this? Somebody wrote today that the next thing to come will be conferences kicking teams out, right? Because you're going to keep adding the teams that bring value, but at some point you realize that there are too many teams in the conference and you don't want to kick out the teams that are bringing in value, so you kick out the teams that don't. And so the, in other words, you'd add Florida State and Clemson, and then you'd kick out, what, Vanderbilt and Mississippi State or something, or Arkansas or Missouri? Vanderbilt, Missouri, there you go. It'd be Vanderbilt, Missouri. And, my wife was like, yeah, well, picking out Missouri. And I'm like, well, Missouri's never wanted to be in the SEC. Anyway, that's one of the rubs with Missouri and the SEC is that we don't want them, and they didn't want us. And the only reason Missouri is in the SEC is that the Big Ten told them no. They wanted to be in the Big Ten with Illinois and everybody else. And the Big Ten told them no. And then the SEC waived that SEC cash, and Missouri's like, well, we burned our bridges with the Big 12 anyway. Let's just go in the SEC. Why not? And the SEC, I don't think the fans or the conference appreciate being thought of as like a consolation prize. We're not a consolation prize for anybody. Excuse me, Missouri. Who do you think you are? Right? So it's just never sat well. I don't think it's ever sat well. Despite the fact that Missouri's been in the SEC championship game and Texas A&M hadn't, but even still, people look at Missouri and they're like, why are you even here? Why are you in this room? Go away. And then Vanderbilt, going to Vanderbilt. But my issue with that, though, is why would you kick out the team that gives you the best chance of getting a conference win on more years than not? I don't want to kick Vandy out. Heck no. I like to play him three times, honestly.
The teams further down the food chain than us and above Vanderbilt don't want to kick Vandy out either.
No.
Yeah, the Kentuckys and Missouris and South Carolinas, they don't want to kick Vanderbilt out.
They rely on that better chance of winning. They don't want to play Georgia and Alabama every week. They got to get some. They got to get some fresh meat in there, some chance to chow down. Yeah. So what do you think about that, though, the idea of kicking teams out? Is that even a possibility, or is that pie in the sky?
I think it's pie in the sky. I think people get into this, the Super League scenario, right?
Yeah.
That we're in this place now. There's two. They're the big two, the SEC and the Big Ten.
Yep.
And they both got 16 teams, and they're both going to make a ton of money. But then, like 5-10 years from now, will there be some move to, consolidate even more? And there's only, one kind of mega league with, 30, 40 teams in it, and that's it. That's all there is. And then we take the, the top teams out of the ACC, you grab Oregon or Washington I think college football is a very regional sport. And I think those regional affiliations is what made the SEC and the Big Ten work. And I think when you drop those to pick up other things, again, but it's also about the dollars. If every team was a free agent tomorrow, right? What brings TV dollars? And who would you want to add to get that, right? There's a reason, the ACC added Boston College and the Big Ten added Rutgers or whatever. So,
right.
I don't know.
Yeah, they were arguing about the Big Ten. If they started to kick out teams, they said, you'd like to think it would be Rutgers or Maryland that would get kicked out, but it won't be. It would be Illinois or Northwestern or Purdue or Indiana. Yeah. Yeah. So I don't think they kick any of them out. So I think the whole thing is stupid, but I just want to switch it up. All right. I think that's going to do us for this week. We're going to wrap things up. We had a lot to cover tonight. That was good. Good, fun show. We will see you guys next week. Our time is up. We thank you for yours. War Eagle, John.
War Eagle, man.
Thanks for listening to the AU Wishbone. Find links to everything we do at www.auwishbone.com. For more Auburn fun, join us on Twitter at @AUWishbone and at facebook.com/AUWishbone. War Eagle.
The AU Wishbone is produced by Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer. Copyright 2020.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone podcast.